Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. And happy Tuesday. It seems like a Monday to me because of the rain, but hey, it is Tuesday, and you know what time it is. And if you don't, you're about to learn, Mother Ninja. Yeah, scared dead with that one. But anyway, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Man, that's a big place. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like what, that's all right.
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
I'll say that. Anywho, check us out at p4bmuscle.com. And now let us begin the chit-chatter with a little banter. How you doing, Desiree?
I am doing just fine, Mr. O'Kalen O'Patterson of the. You know, I'm adding a lot more O's to the O'Patterson clan name here. At some point, we're gonna have to cut that off and just have it be the O'Kalen of the O'Pattersons as we have it. But I am doing fine. It has been hot, but it has been wet.
Yes.
You knew that had to come. As hot as it's been, some rain had to come, and so I'm glad that it did. It's all good. You know, we like things green. Green, 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 not yellow and dead and crusty. Am I right or am I right?
Wow, that's a heck of a description. Jake is actually laughing over here, and he says in his George Takei voice, "Oh, my," to Desiree.
Nice. So, guys, you know that natural bodybuilding, our first love, it's our gamut. It's how we started, and we try to stay true to that. But then we also cover areas that apply to everyday life, and a large part of that is driven by our listeners and topics they want to hear about. And we also try to stick to areas that impact overall health and wellness, and that is the spirit that we have tonight's show. I'm not sure if you saw the promo links that went out, but tonight we have a great guest, and as you know, I think they're all great, and they are, but tonight we do have a great guest, and she is here to help us explore the wide topic of vaccines. Now, I know we're all familiar with them. The vast majority of us have probably had them, but there is really two sides to the vaccine story, and I wasn't even aware that there was more to the story until much later in life, actually until after I had already had all of my children and gone through this gamut. But, you know, we like to share information so that you guys can do your own homework, make informed choices, and that's really what it's all about tonight. And so we have, in the spirit of making informed choices, we have Miss Shanda Burke, and she is the president of Get Informed Iowa. I don't know why I like that name, but I do. It's Informed Choices Iowa. So we're going to get informed with Informed Choices Iowa, and she is here tonight to help us to help navigate this vaccine discussion that we are going to have. So, Ms. Shanda, please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself and your organization.
Yeah. So I am a mother. I live in Central Iowa. I have 5 kids. And before having kids, I worked in a doctor's office. So I gave vaccines on a daily basis. That was part of my job. And at some point in there, I thought I was, a pretty healthy person. And so I was, all concerned about ingredient lists on food and stuff. And so at one point I finally read the ingredient list on a vaccine insert, and I was just blown away. I was like, wow, that's not healthy. There's no way that can be good for me. So it led to more research, and then you end up where I'm at today. Basically, the whole goal is just for people to make truly informed decisions. Working in a doctor's office, I firsthand witnessed, myself or the doctor should have been the one giving that informed consent, and we weren't. I knew nothing about it. I've never met a doctor still that has read a vaccine insert and knows truly, you know, what the ingredients are, what the listed adverse reactions are. Was it a double-blind placebo study that was done on this? You know, stuff like that. So people aren't getting true informed consent when they get a vaccine, and there is real risk to vaccines. So our goal at Informed Choice Iowa is to make sure that people continue to have the choice and continue to be informed.
You know, and I'm glad that you bring that up, because I have 3 children, and I don't know at any one point in time I was ever given an informed choice form on anything. I mean, I always got maybe a little bit about the vaccine afterwards, but never did anyone ever tell me I had an option of whether or not I wanted to vaccinate my kids. It's just always expected. That's what you do. You have a child, you start to go to your well child visits, and then all of a sudden, you know, each visit that you have scheduled beyond that, they just tell you. They just tell you that you're going to get your child vaccinated. And we've already got one question rolling in. This is from Sheila. And she wants to know, why is there such a negative stigma about vaccines? And I think, you know, that is a good question to kind of set up the conversation, because there's just a lot of information out there that people don't know. For instance, like the ingredient list and adverse reactions, and it's such a big conversation, I'm not even sure primarily where we want to start. So maybe you can guide us there. But so you worked in a doctor's office, and you yourself had said you had never read the ingredients list of a vaccine. So when you read those, I mean, what things were popping out to you that's not a good thing? Why, you know, why am I giving this to my baby?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest one was formaldehyde. I'll never forget in school the smell of formaldehyde, like on, you know, things we were dissecting and stuff. And it was just, it made me want to throw up. It was such a powerful chemical smell. It was awful. And I'm thinking, and, you know, there, of course, you know, be careful, you know, wear your mask, don't splash this in your eyes, all this. And yet we're injecting that into people. I'm like, how does that make sense? And then things like acetone, there's a long list of things that go into them. And then you can get into the, you know, other things like, you know, there's bovine extract, human diploid cells. Yeah. So there's a multitude of reasons why people, you know, choose not to use certain vaccines or not to, you know, to do any because of the ingredients. But I think probably to answer the question of why there's this stigma around vaccines, we have been sold this idea that is called herd immunity. And that means that the basic idea is that if enough of us are vaccinated, then we won't get sick. And that's just basically not true. If you actually read about herd immunity, that is the theory of herd immunity. First of all, it's a theory. It's not a fact. It is based on, or was based on, the original study was based on people getting the real disease, not the vaccine disease, not vaccine-induced immunity. We're talking, it was based on real immunity, like somebody who gets chickenpox or measles. They get it once, they're not going to get it again. That's what the theory of herd immunity was based on, not the immunity that you get from vaccines, hopefully, because I firsthand can attest that they do not give you immunity. It's not guaranteed. It's just not. I was myself personally vaccinated 3 times for chickenpox, and 2 is the standard, and I have gotten chickenpox. I got it when I was 22.
Wow.
Okay.
So it didn't work.
Gotcha.
But that's kind of why. So the theory is, you know, if you're not vaccinating, like, so, you know, if you're not vaccinating your kids, you're not participating in the herd immunity, therefore you're putting everybody else at risk. And that's just not true. If you do a little research into herd immunity, you can find that, you know, it was based on the actual disease immunity, not vaccine immunity. And then also technically their theory of herd immunity to be accurate, you have to have like 95% of the herd immunized, and no county in Iowa has higher than like 84%. And there's only a couple that are in the 80s.
Gotcha. Kaylin, you have some thoughts?
Well, you know, with my mom being a nurse and just being around the hospital environment, one of the things that just used to like kind of blow my mind was the fact that she was talking about mutations all the time and how even though they were trying to stay ahead of the diseases in the hospital, they were actually just mutating faster because so much was being done to kill it. And I don't think anything in life wants to die in a hurry, diseases as well. But one of the things that just used to shock me is that, you know, even though the information was out there and she was sharing it with us, it wasn't being more related to the mainstream. Is that something that's still going in effect or being modified or changed? I mean, because there's just so much, I mean, bovine extract, and that's kind of frightening if it has no point or relevance to a vaccination. What's the point of that?
That's a good question. So basically what it boils down to is in 1986, a law was signed by Ronald Reagan that removed any liability from the manufacturers of vaccines. So you can prove without a shadow of a doubt that the vaccine caused you harm or, you know, even death, and they aren't liable. So quite literally, they can put whatever they want in a vaccine. And they do the least amount of testing that they can, because if you can prove that they knew it would cause harm, then you can have a case. But if they haven't done enough research to, you know, well, we don't know that it will, then they can, you know, kind of plausible deniability thing. But it's in there as a culture for it to grow on, for the bacteria, the virus to grow on, is the purpose of the bovine extract or the human diploid cells. Or the hamster kidney cells, monkey kidney cells.
Gotcha. So, well, and that seems ridiculous. In our society of checks and balances, I mean, I can understand to a degree what Reagan was going after, so he wouldn't have, you know, an onslaught of people who maybe didn't have a plausible case going after the pharmaceutical companies when, you know, there is relatively can be some good to vaccines, I guess. But taking away any kind of responsibility, I think that in and of itself is just irresponsible. It seems like there could have been another solution to doing that, but I guess that's neither here nor there. And we probably don't have enough time tonight to get into that part of the discussion. And we definitely want to get to our listeners' questions, because there's a lot of information that they should know, or at least a lot of places that they can go to get more information. So we want to be sure to share those things tonight. A couple of thoughts and questions that are rolling in already. Brian is asking, how could anyone make a correct choice other than getting the vaccine if the true ingredients aren't listed or aren't readily available? I think that's the question Brian has. And so, Shanda, how is that? I mean, so other than organizations like yourself, is there a way that people can get the information that they need prior to either getting vaccinated themselves or vaccinating their kids? Because let's face it, any parent, we're very trusting of our medical system and of our doctors and nurses. And if they say your child needs this vaccination or you need this vaccination, we largely as a society do not question that whatsoever. We just say, okay, and we go about our business up until we've gotten to the point where so many, I guess, side effects or reactions have consistently started to occur that it's even been questioned. So, I mean, there's that paradigm of trust that we just don't question. And for those who do, you know, how can they get the information they need?
Well, the last minute, you know, if you're in the doctor's office and you're like, oh, I, you know, don't have it, ask for the vaccine insert. And that is not a colorful one sheet piece of paper that they're going to give you. That would be the VIS form that the CDC puts out. The vaccine insert is going to be a tiny little folded up piece of paper that has print on it that is super duper tiny. And that'll list the ingredients. That'll talk about the studies that were done on it, the clinical trials. It'll talk about possible adverse reactions, all of that. And you can look all of those, up online. You can look up all of the vaccine inserts online, and it'll list all of that.
But unless you ask for it, you're not going to get it.
No, you will not.
Basically.
And a lot of times, even if you ask for it, a lot of times if you ask for it, they won't even know what it is. They'll bring you that, like I said, the one sheet piece of paper that's like, it's called a vaccine information sheet, a VIS form. And that is not the vaccine insert. Most of them, they don't even know what a vaccine insert is. What do you mean? What this is it. This is the information. No, I want the vaccine insert. It's in the box with the vaccines. And it's, you know, a little tiny folded up piece of paper from the manufacturer, and it lists all the ingredients, all the possible adverse reactions, and even the drug trial information.
And so I'm going to ask more questions here, but it just seems like even if we get that information, you know, those ingredients they're going to be so far over our head, we're not even going to know where we're looking at. Is there like a vaccines for dummies to kind of give us an idea or clue or not? Because I know if I were to look at that, if I can't pronounce it, I'm not going to know what it is, what it does, or why I should be concerned. Or maybe it's not so much even the ingredients at this point, but just looking at the adverse reactions. I mean, I don't know. How would you even begin to decipher that information?
Well, you can do, you know, there's a couple ways. You can, you know, do your own hard research on it if you want, or you can take the research of other people. There's many doctors who have joined our movement in helping people become truly informed on the vaccine issue, and they can go into, you know, the science behind all of it and explain it in ways that even I can't. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys is one who is very knowledgeable. But a lot of them, it's just a little bit of research and you find out, like, so most vaccines contain aluminum hydroxide, and that is an adjuvant in order to, without it, the vaccine really won't work. It has to aggravate your immune system so you get an immune response. Well, aluminum hydroxide is not good for your body. We know aluminum is bad for the body. That's what we find, you know, in high quantities in the brains of Alzheimer patients.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is that alone bad, but then you mix it with, like, the vaccine. It's called Pediarix is the brand name. It's a tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, hep B, and polio combo vaccine that's given at 2, 4, and 6 months. And it also contains not only the aluminum hydroxide, but polysorbate 80. So polysorbate 80 is a preservative, but it opens up the blood-brain barrier. So that allows the aluminum hydroxide, formaldehyde, the calf serum, all of those lovely things to go right up into the brain. That blood-brain barrier is no longer in place once you put in that polysorbate 80. So, and then there's so much that goes into it. Sorry if I'm going too deep. The other question that you can always just ask your doctor, which is the question a friend of mine asked her doctor, was, I would like to see the study showing all these vaccines that you're giving per the CDC schedule. So, the, you know, the CDC schedule, what we give children at 2, 4, and 6 months, all the well child visits. That schedule has never been studied together for safety. They've never studied what happens when we give these vaccines together. And I just don't know how can we do that and give them and say they're safe when we've never studied it.
Yep. I mean, and not to be taking over the total conversation, but to me that seems like, you know, you're taking these vaccines, which may have good property individually, but then you put them all together and have no idea what they're going to do. That's kind of like, you know, bleach and ammonia. Individually, they're great cleaners.
Individually, they're
but
fine.
Put them together and you've got a recipe for death, basically. And that's, you're right, that's just crazy to me. But they've never tested them all together, but they just, do they give a rationale of why they moved to vaccinating? Because even with my kids, you know, it seemed as they progressed and the years passed, they started to give more and more of them together and they weren't as spread out. And, you know, I never questioned. I just figured this is what we need to do. And now I wish I had known then what I know now, because I would have asked. So have they ever given an explanation of why they have ramped up or sped up the schedule for vaccines and why they started clumping so many of them together? Because these are little itty bitty bodies that don't have as much blood to circulate. So it's just all, you know, blasting them at a rate that, you know, might not even be safe. Well, I won't say that. I'm not going to try and lead the audience on this, but that, you know, most adults might not be able to even tolerate.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious if there's rationale.
The reason they do like combo vaccines is basically just because it's less shots. And the vaccine schedule, like the number of vaccines that kids get, has exploded since, like, so my mom is fully vaccinated and she had like, you know, 17 vaccines. For my child to be fully vaccinated, it would be 69 doses by the age of 18.
Good grief.
And most of those are given before the age of 16 months.
Wow.
And I mean, and the thing is, there isn't a good explanation because have you heard of any, you know, pandemics or outbreaks happening in the past, you know, 30, 40 years? Why are we adding all these vaccines? And there just truly isn't a good explanation for it. Other than that, they can. And it's a big money. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And so that, you know, for every vaccine that gets approved under the CDC schedule, it's like $2 or $3 billion of profit per year for that company.
Yes.
So, you know, I hate to say that it goes back to money, but it just does. That's what, you know, that's part of what makes the world go round.
No, you're quite correct in that. That's been proven for the last 10 years. So, you know, you don't have to be ashamed to basically say what has already been documented and proven. They can say a vaccine works, we can say the truth works as well.
Exactly. And that's honestly my whole goal is I'm not out for people to not vaccinate. I'm just out for people to make truly informed choices. You wouldn't go in for a surgery and the doctor just say, oh, you'll be fine. No, you'd want to know, okay, you know, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? What are the risks? And, you know, you go over that stuff before you go on, you know, in for surgery. You don't just trust the doctor, you know, oh, yeah, I'll be fine, whatever. I mean, there's a reason that medical error is the third leading cause of death in our country.
I just have to pause and breathe for a minute.
All right, here we go.
Couple of statements from our listeners. Dale, I have kids that get sick. I don't want them getting sicker if they're supposed to be getting cured. And I want to jump back to that, but there, and I could be wrong, so Shanda, you'll correct me if I am wrong, but there are more studies and research coming out that are pointing to vaccines as the cause, I can't say they've just, you know, identified it as without a doubt, but pointing to vaccines as a cause for several, disorders, if you have conditions that we have today. So we'll talk more about that in a second. This is from Jake. We are being abused by our businesses and their need for profits, plain and simple. Is there anything we can do to get back to actual cures? And then I'm going to throw in this one from Jimmy. With so much being added to a vaccination, what are some of the side effects that can occur? So he's kind of rolling into the question that I just laid out there. But let's answer that one first, and then we're going to come back to Jake once we talk more about some of the side effects. I won't even call them side effects, reactions that are caused by vaccines, then we'll get to, is there anything we can do to get back to actual cure? So kind of talk to us about that, because I know in kids especially, we've seen some increases in adverse conditions that we never saw very little of prior to the rise of vaccines.
Yeah. I will say there is more that plays into the whole health thing than just vaccines. The leading cause of death for children is now cancer. That is just quite frankly, is just not acceptable. It is not supposed to be that way. And a lot of that plays into it is, you know, our environment, our food, and the vaccines. There's a lot that plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the question again? I'm sorry. That you want me to answer specifically?
What are some of the conditions or illnesses or reactions that we're seeing now that an increase, and we can start with kids, but we can also touch on adults, that are prevalent now that weren't there prior to the rise of vaccines. And I appreciate and respect the fact that you bring out that there are several contributing factors such as environment, food, all of those sorts of things. But definitely, you know, they all play their role, and vaccines are still part of that.
Yeah. The part that scares me more about vaccines is they're injected. Your body doesn't have a great elimination system for that. So the illnesses that we see, like, as a side effect of vaccines, that was something else that when I was working that was really interesting to me. We would label people healthy that were taking 2 and 3 prescription medications every day to maintain that, quote, healthy status. And it's like, how is that health? I mean, we're seeing young kids with acid reflux, asthma. Tons of children have seizure disorders. You know, the allergies, environmental allergies, stuff like that. Kids didn't used to have all of these health issues. Kids didn't used to take medication. That wasn't a normal thing. And now it is the normal. It is, you know, we coined somebody healthy that is taking a medication every day for allergies, is taking a medication every day for asthma. And I just don't see that as real health.
Gotcha.
It sounds like when we had the public schooling and they started listing ketchup as a vegetable.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And the part about, you know, you want your kids to be healthy, we all want our kids to be healthy, absolutely. So another term you'll hear instead of vaccination is immunization. I don't like that term because immunization plays into the idea that the vaccines are helping boost your immune system, and that is just not how our immune system was created. Our immune system was created to, you got things like, you know, so you're injecting an illness. Well, that's an airborne caught illness. How do you think your body's going to recognize that when it's not getting it even the natural method that you get, you know, in real life exposure from? There's absolutely, my kid's immune system is something that I focus on, you know, to boost with, you know, diet and supplements and things like that. And I haven't found a reason to inject them with anything to boost their immune system. I just don't see how injecting formaldehyde and aluminum hydroxide and polysorbate 80, all of those things, I don't see how that boosts their immune system.
Okay, cool. So that I think gets back to Jake's question of how we can get back to, actual cures. And it sounds like, you know, that food could be a part of that. Vitamins, minerals can also be a part of that to boost the immune system naturally versus maybe getting all of the vaccines that are out there these days.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, and, you know, just because you're healthy doesn't mean you're never going to get sick. It's what you do when you're sick, you know. Do you start drinking Gatorade and eating ramen? Or do, you know, you drink bone broth and, you know, eat your healthy vegetables and protein and stuff like that? It's what do you do when you're sick? So I have 5 kids. My oldest is 6 and a half. My youngest is 3 months old, and not one of them has ever taken an antibiotic ever. They've never needed a doctor one time. We treat everything at home, and we've been able to, thankfully, very successfully. I've dealt with all 4 of my children have had the chickenpox. We intentionally got that so that they would have natural immunity to it, and I got it with them because my vaccine works so well. And, you know, it's what you do when you get sick that also helps boost your immune system, because your body learns when it's sick how to react and how to respond. And if you throw an antibiotic at it every time, it doesn't learn how to fight things.
Gotcha. So this is from Jamitha. She says, wow, how can this stuff be legal to give to anyone? My goodness, I've done so much vaccinations for my children, I thought I was helping them. So you were a nurse, you've been in the medical industry, so let's give fair play where fair play is due. Are there any pros to vaccinations? And if yes, you know, what does that look like? I mean, is it just, you know, fewer vaccinations spread further apart so the body's able to adapt? Or, I mean, just share. I mean, if we're going to look at one side of it, we might as well try to speak to both if you can.
Yeah, there's absolutely some, immunity that can, it's not a guarantee. You can be, like, for instance, the measles vaccine has like a 93% success rate, and that is high. But for me, I guess I'm not afraid of getting the measles. I see it as a natural childhood disease, and it serves a purpose as well, in training the immune system on how to fight things. Sure, it can get, there can be really adverse effects. There can be adverse effects from, strep throat. Any disease can go desperately bad, but generally it is not the case. So the measles vaccine is highly effective. And then there's some that just don't even make sense. So, like, you go to the, you step on a nail, you go into the ER, and they're going to want to give you a tetanus shot, so that you don't get tetanus, which is a valid concern if, you're out on a farm or something. But, I mean, they want to do that even if you cut yourself with a kitchen knife. I don't regularly bathe my kitchen knives in tetanus toxoid, personally. But the problem is, you could give that person who stepped on that rusty nail the tetanus injection. Tetanus toxoids take 2 to 3 weeks to even start producing from that vaccine. They're going to die of tetanus before that. So I don't know. It's very hard for me to tell you the positives about vaccines, I'll be honest, because there isn't a ton. Most of them are, quite honestly, there's just not. I'm educated enough on the illnesses that I'm not that concerned about them. I know how to treat pertussis. I know how to treat chickenpox and the measles and the mumps, diphtheria. They're not big deals. Tetanus is super duper rare in our country. The thing is, if you look back at when these vaccines were introduced, the numbers of people getting the illnesses and absolutely the numbers of deaths related to them was way, way down. It was near, it was basically non-existent. They weren't an issue anymore. And that was because of, proper sanitation, proper diet, understanding things like washing our hands and stuff like that. So they're just, I don't know. For me, there isn't a good reason to vaccinate. But like I said, the MMR vaccine does have a good 93% success rate of preventing those if there's something you're concerned about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, I'm just blown away with this because, I'm thinking back to, the family members I've taken for vaccinations, and the question was always, why so much for so little? It's like there's no outbreak, and, but it's going to help with this, and this. And it's almost like a smorgasbord of stuff being added along with the smorgasbord of what's supposed to be being prevented or cured. I questioned it, but I guess not. Now I'm kind of ashamed because I didn't question it enough to the point where it would be the subject of causing a solution, a better solution, and the change necessary to get back to the actual point of actually doing a cure. Instead of basically this buffet of, sickness and death. I'm just not seeing a point or a validation to say, your child needs all these things simply because of fear.
Fear is really what drives it. Yeah, fear is really what drives it, and I refuse to make choices based on fear. I make choices based on facts and personal convictions, and I won't make choices based on fear, but that is absolutely what we do. And I will admit that's what I did when I worked in the doctor's office. You don't want your kid to get sick. We got to get these vaccines.
Yeah.
And that was my job, and I didn't know any better at the time. And but fear sells.
There you go. This one is from James. He says, as a natural bodybuilder, all my muscle gains are precious. And that's in all caps. So we get it, James. They are precious. And we know. So when I got sick, I went ahead and had my flu shot to prevent the loss. I got sicker, lost 5 pounds, and couldn't recover to compete during that year. WTH. WTH indeed, James. WTH. So I'm going to go ahead and take a moment to pause here because we have lots of listeners that are wanting links to find more information. They're wanting to get out there. They're wanting to research. They're wanting to become more informed. Now, I have not looked at your site in depth, Shanda, but I know you guys do have resources out there. So can you share with us the web address for Informed Choices Iowa and any other great sites that people can go to just get more information on this topic?
Yeah. So our website is www.informedchoiceiowa.com, and we have a fairly small amount of information on there, but there is some information on there. And then another great website is learntherisk.org. There's a lot of information there. And highly recommend the books by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys if you're a book person. Dissolving Illusions is one of them. And then Rising from the Dead is another one. That one kind of explains her coming into the knowledge of what was in vaccines and how that literally dissolved her career. And she lost everything because she made the decision that she wasn't going to be silent about it. So she lost her job and her home and everything so that she could continue to warn people about the dangers of vaccines. Trying to think if there's any other websites. The vaccine inserts really are a great place to start. They have a lot of information on them, and you know that can't be denied. And that's straight from the manufacturer, so they kind of can't say, "Oh, well, that's not true." Well, it's your information. So, some other great websites. Let me think. I can send you some, and I'm sure people in my group have a bunch of them.
That would be great. If you send them our way, we will get those posted for you. While you're thinking of resources, what did you think of the documentary Vaxxed? Was that legit? Was it over the top? What would you think about anyone who is wanting to watch that one if they're more of a visual? They're not going to read it, but they might watch the documentary.
Yeah. That is a really good movie. It is more so focuses on the MMR vaccine, as far as there was a study that was done. The government wanted the CDC to do a study specifically on the MMR vaccine and the link to autism and things like that, the health effect specifically with the MMR vaccine. And basically, Dr. William Thompson came forward and disclosed that there was basically, you know, a meeting, and they got together and they brought all their information. And it didn't look good. There was, I believe it was a 250% increase in African-American boys, increase in them getting autism if the MMR was given before 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple other things. That was the one statistic that stuck out to me. But they threw all that information away. So it was a cover-up, absolutely. Another really good documentary is The Greater Good. And that's on Amazon Prime, if anybody, you know, wants to watch. Again, visual people who want to watch, that's a really good one. There's a lot of really good DVDs out there, and those I can recommend a lot more readily because I've watched all of them and they stick in my mind better than a website. But, yeah, there's a lot of resources out there for information. All you have to do is, you know, you just have to look for them. They're not too hard to find. The Greater Good is a really good one. The Truth About Vaccines is a 7-DVD series. That one is really good. Trace Amounts, that goes over the aluminum hydroxide a little bit. That's a documentary. And let's see here what else I've got written down.
All right. Well, you know, if you come up with those, we'll be happy to share. And we can definitely, Kayla and I can keep communicating with you to let our folks know. Guys, I know. I'm rushing her. I'm going to move it along a little bit because, you know, we got about 20 minutes left and a bunch of stuff to get to. So here we go. This one's from Linda. She says, why don't these vaccinations have to do a commercial with a list of side effects like those crappy nighttime commercials pitching their death drugs? That's a good, that's a great question, Linda. That is a great, you know why they don't have to? Because they're not, they're no longer liable.
That's exactly why. That's exactly why.
They are not required to disclose because they can't be prosecuted for it. That's why.
Yep. That's exactly why, because there is no liability. So it doesn't, but they, it's scary. They quite literally can put whatever they want in them and it doesn't matter. Because they aren't liable. So yeah,
there
no, that's
go.
Why, because there's no liability.
So, this is from Dana. She says, I'm a little frightened for my children. Dana, don't be frightened. Just be informed. That's why we share
yes.
this information. So you can make those choices because, you know, we do have more power than what we think. We can
mm-hmm.
choose not to vaccinate
yes.
our kids despite certain government threats that you'll want to become more educated on. Or you can request, if you choose to go ahead with a vaccination, that your doctor hold off on it. Drag
yeah.
out the schedule. Make sure your kids are older. If you feel that their bodies are, you know, of a better age to receive the vaccination, you can make those requests. But if you don't know what to ask for, then you just don't know what to ask for. And that's the point of sharing this information. We're not trying to scare anybody by any means. I don't think Kaylin and I try to bring any guests on the show to scare anyone into anything.
No.
Sometimes we're a little passionate about things and our passion shows through. But this is all about, you know, just sharing
real
that
talk.
Information with you. Yep, it's real talk. So you guys can make those real decisions out there for yourselves and your families. This one's from Tanya M. She says, how can I really care for my children if such things are not being shared by legal businesses and my own government who looks the other way as they put my own children's health at risk? And that's a good question, too. And as you watch things going on in the EU and the United States both, you're going to see government is playing a larger role in mandating what parents can and can't do as far as choice making for their kids' health. Go ahead, Shanda.
So right now in the state of Iowa, we have two exemptions. We have a religious exemption and a medical exemption. The medical exemptions I won't go over a whole lot because they're very difficult to obtain. You have to have a doctor sign them. Very few doctors will sign them. If they sign too many of them, they come under scrutiny from the FDA and can lose their license. So the most used one is the religious exemption, and you do not have to define your religion. It can be any conviction or belief, you know, for why you don't want to get them, and it can be for one vaccine. It can be for all the vaccines. But the whole, you know, no shots, no school is absolutely a lie. That's not true at all. Thankfully, still in our state, we do have the religious exemption. So part of what Informed Choice Iowa does is we go up to the Capitol. We lobby on behalf of, you know, Iowans to maintain the right for medical choices. Nothing medical-wise should ever be mandated by the government. When you hand over your personal health to the government, nothing good is going to come from that.
No. Yep. I,
they do not care
I,
about my kids more than I do.
No, they don't. And I totally agree. And notwithstanding that there are some parents out there that just don't parent the way that they should. And I get that, guys. I get that. But for the most part, you've got a lot of concerned parents out there that Shanda is absolutely right. The government will never care about our kids as much as we care about our kids. And I just think that's a flat out truth, real talk. This one is from Bobby. She's asking how much of the vaccinations are needed to deal with the lowering of health through poisonous food, soil, air, and water. So I think that question is, are there vaccinations that actually help alleviate the other health risks that we are exposed to through food, soil, air, and water?
Like, can they help make those less
yes.
harmful?
Yes. Yes.
I don't see how they could. I wouldn't want to inhale formaldehyde. If I gave my kid formaldehyde to drink, I would lose my child. They would be taken away
yeah.
from me by the government, but yet it's okay to inject into them. So no, I would say I do not see that. No, in my research, I have not found that they play a role in improving health.
I don't see how they could. I really don't. I think her question was basically with the damage that we're being having to pay for in food and everything else in water, is that going to be offset by the damage we're being done by vaccination? And that's
a
crazy
definitely
question.
Adds to it.
Yeah, so there's some merit to that. And, you know, guys, I can tell you right now that both Ed and I are just as shocked as you are to hear about these things. But like with that, we're not fear-mongering. It's just sometimes it's a hard slap in the face to hear the truth. But that doesn't mean, like Des was saying, that we can't do something about this and bring about some change. Because if not, then we're constantly setting up our next generation for further and further health risk and more damage to their bodies.
Yeah, and if we don't do anything, it will get worse. There's like 241 vaccines that are in process of being made right now.
Yep. And the one thing, guys,
schedule.
And part of this that triggered wanting to do a show on this area, because it's not just our kids and it's not just flu season when vaccines are ramping up. The CDC, and that's Center for Disease Control, they're actually getting ready to roll out an adult vaccination schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's coming. So not only are your kids going to have a schedule to get vaccinated, but all adults, as they go for their yearly exams or checkups or whatever you're doing, they're rolling out a schedule for you now. For me, for you. And we're going to be expected to comply.
Yep.
So you just have to know what's out there. Go ahead, Shanda. I'm sorry. What did you say?
There's incentives as well. When I worked in the doctor's office, if we wanted to get an end-of-the-year bonus, we needed to have people up to date on vaccines. And for every patient through Blue Cross Blue Shield that was up to date on their vaccines, we would get a $400 kickback from the insurance company.
No, you didn't!
Yeah,
no, you didn't.
But you had to have at least, I think it was 70% of your patients up to date on vaccines. So I remember making those phone calls. You know, we need to get so-and-so in to, you know, for this immunization or, you know, whatever. Because, you know, if we wanted a Christmas bonus, end-of-the-year bonus, then that was the only place it was coming from. So, yeah, no, there's absolutely incentives behind it. You know, again, money. It's scary. I know.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even have a clue about that part of it. Not a clue. There you go. Knowledge is power, and now we know. And this isn't made up, because you experienced it. You were part of the system. I mean, not to like point fingers at you, but you know from experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were
I firsthand, and I thought those bonuses were pretty great at the time. But yeah, once you think about it a little bit, well, and I didn't realize until much later, I didn't even realize it when I was still working, that there was no liability from the pharmaceutical companies. And I remember when I heard that, I'm like, nah, that's not true. There's no way. And someone's like, yeah, go look it up. And I looked it up. I was like, you got to be kidding me. How is that even like, what? How do we get a quality product without liability?
Oh, my goodness. All right. So there you have that, folks. I mean, you know, real talk. That's what it's all about. This one is from Sam. How much of the business makers and the market play on the fears of parents wanting to protect their children? Well, Sam, if that was not an example for you, I would say a lot. And I think we kind of talked about that earlier in the show. If we as parents, if we think we're doing something, if something is positioned as being beneficial for our kids and protecting them from harm, heck yeah, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And we'll do it without question. And we have been all these years, and we probably still continue to do so. I mean, now we've got, what is it, HPV vaccines that they're wanting all teenage girls to have now. And it just keeps getting added more and more and more. The layers just don't stop. And it's all because they position it, doing it out of the love for your child, safety for your child, helping them to live the best future that they can.
Yeah,
I mean,
they know
there
how to
are
put
vaccine
a good spin
commercials
on it.
Out there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you know how to put a good spin on it, and, you know, they, you know, if you're a good parent, this is what you do. I've been told I'm a bad parent, that I don't care about my kids, that I'm endangering them, and, you know, I'm just, you know, being foolish and all of that. And it's like, no, I really am quite educated on this, and I am doing the best that I can for my kids, and the proof is in the pudding. My kids are healthy. My kids, you know, have never they don't take any medications. They've never taken an over-the-counter medication. They've never taken a prescription medication.
But, you know, this isn't,
It's something that's so trivial that we never really thought about it. And that was all those little surveys and things they used to do at the stores and the markets, you know, take this and you'll get a free product. Or, you know, I think one of the biggest ones was, you know, with the alcohol, where they see how they can market things, which is more appealing, this color or this color, you know, and they were doing it so subtly and just grabbing people at random. But I don't think they were really as random as we were thinking, as compared to demographic, appearance, you know, style, because they would watch you. They would always place themselves at the front doors, you know, side doors, see when you're getting out your car, or, you know, how you were interacting with each other. And I think they just found a clever marketing that basically makes us, you know, question our own intuition and common sense. That's what it's looking like.
That is really true. So, you know, a lot of, you know, my kid got this, and now they're experiencing this, and people just go, oh, you know, what do you know? You're just the mother. You know, you don't know anything. Your doctor said it's fine. You're just the mother, really? You're just the mother.
Yeah.
You're just the one who literally, you know, knows that child better than anyone on the face of this planet, and you're just the mother. You're going to tell me that some doctor who sees your kid, you know, a few times a year for, you know, 20, 30 minutes at a time knows your kid better than you? No. No. Mothers have been conditioned, and they, you know, a lot of them have accepted it. You know, oh well, the doctor said, I don't care. You're the mother. You know, you know the kid. Like, trust your intuition. Trust the fact that, you know that baby, and, you know, but yeah, we've been conditioned that we don't know as much as doctors. And the crazy thing is, doctors don't know much about vaccines.
Doctors don't know as much as the pharmaceutical companies do, and to their defense, there's no way they can. I mean, there is just not enough hours in the day for them to research everything that comes out of the market, and that they're bombarded by sales reps in their offices all the time. There's just no way that they can know everything 100%.
No,
but
well, and the scary thing is that people don't think about is, so I was on the scene, I was working in the doctor's office when the HPV vaccine came on, like, as new, and I watched the education that the doctors got on that, and it was from the drug reps, over them bringing in a lunch, and it was just, you know, a 10, 15, at the most, 20, 30 minute conversation, and that was their education on that, and then they went out and vaccinated the masses.
And there you have it.
It's scary.
From,
I was like, "Are we?"
It is scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me jump in on that one, because this correlates to natural bodybuilding. And I won't say the name of the company. I'll save them that embarrassment. I'll share that with you if you want to ask later on, Des, or anybody else. But there was a sales rep, you know, basically a spokesperson for it, and he had no clue other than the sales pitch what he was talking about. And because I had been around that that company and did do the research on breakdown of what they were putting in it, it was just a loss of words when I said, you know, it's a crap product. And he looked at me like, you know, how can you say that when we're making these sales, we're doing all these things, you know, we're well represented because look at our name. And I said, it's a crap product. And I stayed on that because everything I was saying, he could not refute. And, you know, he didn't argue with me, and actually he got some knowledge to take going forward off of whether he wanted to stay with that company or not. But like you said, if we're giving out the information that needs to be given and it's factual, truthful, then you do have to stick to your guns. And you will, if you go up against big money, you will get a headache, and they will come after you because, you know, you're talking about profits, and if that's what they're set about doing, and you're costing them that, then you do become a target of anger, evil, and anything else they can do to basically shut you up.
Yeah.
Well, as Brent says, I'm going to throw this in here real quick, Shanda, then turn it over to you. He says, money causes many intelligent people to be silent. All right, mm-hmm. Shanda?
Yeah, I hugely agree with that. A lot of, you know, pretty much most of the studies that are done, the clinical trials that are done on vaccines are funded by the vaccine company, the manufacturers. A little bit of a bias there, I would think, you know, if you're set to make millions of dollars, billions of dollars, if it, you know, if it passes, you know, I mean, so yeah, it's, there's not a good, I guess, you know,
someone
overseeing it going, hey, this has truly been done right and it's done safe. So like, for example, you know, when you take a prescription medication, those have gone through double-blind placebos. One group took the medication, one group took a sugar pill that was nothing. They don't do that for vaccines. You just don't get the actual DNA from the virus. You still get all the other chemicals, the aluminum, the formaldehyde, the polysorbate 80. You still get all those in the placebo. So you're not getting just like an injection of saline. So it's not a true placebo. It's not a true double-blind study. But then they can say, well, compared to the placebo group, there was no increase in reactions. Well, yeah, they didn't get – they were still getting all the chemicals. So, yeah, of course there wasn't.
I tell you, just more and more to know. So Shelley's asking, and Shanda, I know you will do this, if you can visit the P4P Real Talk with Desiree and Kaylin Facebook page and on the post, the promo post for this show, if you could go ahead and provide names again for those DVDs, that would be great. Listeners are still wanting to be able to check those out, and then any other websites. And then we'll, of course, share those around to all the other places that we have posted information about this show. And as you folks well know, you're listening to us live, but the recorded audio for this program will be available, you know, within a good 15 to 20 minutes after the close of the show. So you can continue to share the link and other folks will be able to hear this and get informed just like you're getting informed. Okay, we're closing here pretty quick. This one is from Charles. He said, I know I'm showing my age, but this stuff sounds like the poor man's version of Logan's Run. And Charles, I had no idea what Logan's Run was about. So I looked it up, and it's a sci-fi film that came out in 1976 where the population was outstripping our natural resources. So once you reached the age of 30, you were bumped off systematically. So that's Logan's Run, and there you have it. Let's see. This is from Sandra. She said, you can cross all the T's and dot all the I's and still be wrong after studies are done. These companies are risking our children's lives. And
yeah.
There you have it.
But don't worry, they have a prescription medicine to help them.
Oh.
And there you go. So, guys, as we said before, you know, don't be afraid. But do be informed. Do your homework. And just get out there. Ask questions. Make the time to get the information you need to make big choices. And if that happens, whatever your choice is at that point, you've made an informed choice, and then that choice is the choice that was right for you. So this is not a judgment zone here, but now you've heard from the experience of Shanda, and I'm sure there are lots more people out there that have stories to tell. And so, you know, just do your homework. As we say with all things, whether it's a coach, you know, the latest nutrition fad that's positioned as a fad, whatever it is, just do your homework. So, Shanda, thanks so much for sharing with us tonight. I know that it's been really eye-opening.
Yeah,
we've had listeners thanking us for bringing this topic to them. So thank you for sharing your experience with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'd love to help spread awareness and help people make truly informed decisions about their health.
Awesome. So if you'll share those links with us, we'll keep sharing the word.
Will
and,
do.
You know, wish you all the best in your endeavors.
All right. Thank you so much.
All righty. Good night. Wow. Little more than what I bargained for tonight. How about you, KP?
No clue. I had no clue. I mean, my mind is really trying to grasp everything we just heard, and I'll probably have to listen to the archive of this show just to hear everything I probably missed just because my mouth was taking up every piece of space on my head. It's wow. Just wow.
It is. I mean, and there's so much changing all the time with regard to health and the choices that are out there. And I just want to let everyone know that, or just reconfirm, reaffirm, you do have choices. And while you have choice, exercise your choice, but be informed about your choice. And
can I do one?
Go ahead.
This is from Jeremiah, and he says, it seems like the need for profit is superseding the need for overall health in this nation, and that in itself is a hashtag crying shame.
Yes, Jeremiah, I agree with that.
When
the desire for profit overrides the desire to protect humanity,
yes,
protect the greater good, yeah, then it is a crime scene. But as we said, you know what, guys? Just be informed. And with that, Kaylin, I'm not even in the mood for a snickerdoodle shout out tonight, but I'm going to have you go ahead and
Meet
do it.
It. I'll do it. I'll actually do it.
Do it.
I'll say snickerdoodle is my vaccine. How about that?
There you go. So, you know what, guys? Just thanks for joining us through all the craziness. We've got more great shows coming up. On behalf of Kaylin, the boys from P4P Muscle, myself, your body is a temple, so let's build it.